Let us begin with prayer. Father God, take these weak human words and help us to hear you speak through these words. And let us have ears that hear and hearts and minds that are open and lives that are obedient to your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've been here in the last few weeks, we have been doing a series on Mark chapter 1. And we had a gap last week, so I'll just do a recap of where we are. So Jesus, fresh from being filled by the Holy Spirit and successfully confronting Satan in the wilderness, declares that the kingdom of God is near and said, repent and believe the good news. Repent, meaning to turn away from the things that you're doing now, that you're doing wrong, and turn to God and do like a U-turn and believe the good news of Jesus. And then he goes down to the Sea of Galilee and he asks four fishermen there to come follow me, which they do right away. So Jesus' public ministry gathers momentum and he continues and he shows his authority as he delivers an unclean spirit from a man in the synagogue and heals Simon's mother-in-law. He continues to travel through Galilee, preaching and driving out demons. And in our passage this evening, Jesus makes a leper clean. And this miracle is also in the other synoptic gospels, Matthew and Luke. And at the time, leprosy was the disease that everyone dreaded, perhaps in the same way that people would dread getting cancer today, but for different reasons. In the time of Jesus, it was believed that leprosy was a punishment for sin because it was so visible. It was a sign that the sufferer was a culprit who may have hidden his sins from his neighbours, but couldn't hide his sins from God. And it served as a warning to people that if you did commit sins, then you would have these visible afflictions caused by leprosy. And as it was in the first century, everyone would have classed the people, the lepers, as sinners. And the only way to be healed was to ask for mercy from God. It was the widespread belief in Judaism that only God could heal leprosy. And anyone suspected of having leprosy, and at the time there were perhaps other skin diseases which were combined to think it was leprosy, unlike today when it's called Hansen's disease. In Jesus' time, a person was brought not to a doctor, but to the priest for examination. And it was only the priest who could determine whether the person was clean or unclean. And instructions for the priest to follow are in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 40 to 46. And we have got the words of the passage on the screen. When it comes, I'll start to read. So, verse 40, a man who has lost his hair and is bald is clean. That's probably a bit of a relief. And if he has lost his hair from the front of his scalp and has a bald forehead, I'm not looking anywhere, he is clean. But if he has a reddish white sore on his bald head or forehead, it is a defiling disease breaking out on his head. The priest is to examine him. And if the swollen sore on his head or forehead is reddish white, like a defiling skin disease, the man is diseased and unclean. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, and cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. and as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside of the camp. And so possibly many of the lepers possibly lived outside the camp, outside the city, in this city rubbish dump, where they would at least find food. And leper colonies became widespread in the Middle Ages, particularly in Europe and India, often run by monks. Historically, leprosy has been greatly feared because it causes visible disfigurement and disability, was incurable, and was commonly believed to be highly contagious. A few years ago, on a holiday in Crete, and at least one member of the congregation was there at the time, do you remember? There's a picture of a place called Spinalonga, which is, must be, that's it. And this is just off the island of Crete. And it's a leper colony. And it was made famous by a book called The Island, which depicted what life must have been like on this leper colony in Spinalonga. And although it wasn't far off the mainland of Crete, people who lived on the leper colony lived in isolation. If they had leprosy, they were taken away from the families, and they would never see them again. And so when we were there and you're walking down where they would have lived, like a street, and they'd obviously had a community of life that they had to rebuild, and there was shops and houses, and it was quite eerie that people had to be taken away from the families. They may as well have been a million miles away, not just invisible distance. And this colony at Spinalonga was actually operational till 1957, so it is quite recent. And few people who were in good health would actually make the sacrifice of going to a leper colony. But there was a man called Father Damien, and he was a missionary from Belgium who in 1863 went to the Hawaiian Islands, who in place of his brother who was ill, and he must have thought, being a missionary in the Hawaiian Islands sounds really nice. But when he got there, he saw that Hawaii was ravaged by diseases, because by the time merchant ships discovered Hawaii, the people, the Hawaiians, had no immunity to the diseases brought by the people on these merchant ships. And Father Damien was moved by the miserable condition of the lepers who the Hawaiian government had deported, similarly to Spinalonga. And this is Father Damien's picture there before he went on this mission. They were sent to an island called Molokai, and Father Damien went to take charge of the settlement, and he was known for his compassion. And he provided the lepers with spiritual, physical and emotional comfort, and those suffering from debilitating and incurable disease looked to him for all their support, serving as both a pastor and a physician. And he undertook projects to make the conditions better there, improving water, food, housing, and actually founded two orphanages because people had children there. Hard to believe. And he was there for 16 years, and in 1884, he actually contracted leprosy, and he refused to leave. So he died there in 1889, and he was only 49 years of age. And he was beatified in 1995 and canonized in 2009, so he's now known as Saint Damien of Molokai. But in Jesus' time, the exclusion of lepers wasn't as a result of the fear of the contagion of the disease. It was a result of spreading religious impurity. Because to have leprosy was to be religiously impure. And anyone who touched the leper would also become impure. So lepers were like living corpses, and curing anyone from leprosy would have the same impact as raising someone from the dead. And here we have Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount when this leper breaks through and breaks all the strict rules in relation to contacting people. And he approaches Jesus and he says, as in verse 40, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And he didn't mean, if you feel like it, if you're in a good mood today, you can make me clean. He meant, if you are willing, if it's God's purpose. God can heal, but when he doesn't, we need to remember that we don't know what is best, and he does. But this leper trusted Jesus, and he trusted that he could heal him, although he doesn't know if he will. And we should do the same when we are faced with an illness. We should trust in God. And if it is his purpose, he will. He will make us well. And in verse 41, we hear that Jesus is indignant. And the original meaning of the Greek word was actually to rage. But in other versions, it has come to mean to be moved with compassion. If there was anger, it wouldn't have been at the man himself. It may have been at seeing the ravages of the disease or the isolation that lepers were sent to. And Jesus shows compassion by touching the man, which is significant because he doesn't always lay hands on people when healing. He didn't lay hands on the man in the synagogue that he delivered the demon from. And it's probably the first time that this man has been touched for a long time, living in isolation. "Be clean," Jesus commands, and the leprosy leaves him. Jesus making another claim to his divine status. Only God could heal the leper. And the leper couldn't return to society unless a priest declared him clean. So Jesus tells him in verse 44 to go and show himself to the priest. We don't know if he did that. The text doesn't tell us. And if he did, the priest would surely know that the Messiah was in the midst, because only God could heal leprosy. But he also commands the leper to tell no one about this miracle and sends him on his way. Because Jesus didn't perform miracles to amaze people, that's what the false prophets of the time were trying to do, who were trying to make a name for themselves. And in our day, the miracles might make the headlines for a few weeks, and then the interest would probably flag as people clamour for something new and something more sensational, seeing something more amazing. I don't know if anybody watches Britain's Got Talent, but it always strikes me that some of the acts, for example, the dangerous acts like the knife throwing, and they get closer and closer to the person, and the act is voted, gets through to the next round, and they say, I'm going to do something even more exciting and even more amazing. And you think, well, how long can that actually last before you actually, the knife goes in someone? I don't actually like those acts. But Jesus, God's power is not revealed only through miracles. Jesus wants to keep the news of these miracles quiet because he wants to preach the gospel. He makes this very clear in verse 38 of this passage. When the crowds were looking for him, he said, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Excited crowds would just hinder his preaching of the word. How could he teach people if they're just waiting to see the miracles? They wouldn't be listening. And his opponents would only use it against him. Now, this leper, possibly out of the joy of being cured, disobeys Jesus, and the news spreads like wildfire. A little bit unlike us today, the leper has no problem in spreading the good news where we seem to find it more difficult. And so many people were coming to him to be healed that he couldn't really do what he was there to do, to preach. He knew this would happen, which is why he told the leper to be silent. Unwanted publicity would restrict his movement and his important mission with his disciples. He couldn't just walk into a town openly, people for miles around trying to find him. So he has to retreat to quieter places. But as it says in the passage, people still found him. And then Mark is trying, I think, to tell us that Jesus isn't like the false prophets who would have gone to all the large cities and not try to find quieter places. And the thing for us is that Jesus is teaching the thing that he wanted to do and why he had come. And that didn't stop when he died. It continues today to change the world in all parts of the world where mission is happening. And if we are to be like Christ, to show the type of compassion he showed to the leper, then we need to minister to those who perhaps what we would think as unlovable in our society. This attitude towards leprosy in biblical times is perhaps no different from our attitude towards certain diseases today. There is still, even today, a lot of stigma surrounding leprosy in less developed countries, in India, in certain parts of South America, in certain parts of Asia. And many people still believe it is a punishment or a curse. And in India, leprosy is grounds for divorce. So I was reading about a lady who had leprosy and her husband divorced her just based on the leprosy, because in 1898 there was a Lepers Act introduced by the British Raj. And the truth is that leprosy is simply a mildly infectious disease, actually not very contagious at all. And it's thought that around 95% of the population have a naturally immune to it. But because of the stigma surrounding it, many people today in these less developed countries don't go forward for treatment. So they have to live with the horrors of the disease because they're not getting the compassion that they need. There's a few doctors in, isn't there? Obviously, our behaviour has consequences for our health. If we smoke, if we drink too much, if we eat too much of the wrong things, then eventually we will suffer the consequences. The same people who would hardly assess the suffering from, say, heart disease as judgment for sin from God, however, will still declare some diseases today to be the judgment of God. AIDS, for example, people may think that this is a judgment from God because of homosexual promiscuity. Matthew 7, verse 5 says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We all make mistakes, and if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, as 1 John 1:8 tells us. We need to be careful that we don't have a critical heart, a self-righteous attitude, unconscious bias, which we all have, an unconscious bias. We need to be careful that that doesn't impact the compassion that Jesus wants us to have for people that we may think as outcasts, like the leper in this passage. We need to have compassion for everyone like Jesus did. And when we don't have compassion, it's because that we think that we're better than other people, and we think that they are in that situation because of some fault of their own. And we wouldn't have done that if we'd have been in that position. There is the story of a doctor who treated AIDS patients, possibly when it was at its height in the 1980s. And he confessed that when he began his treatment of a patient, he had this attitude that this disease was different from other diseases. He said he was like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable in Luke 18:9-14, which says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." I think there is a picture of this as well. "The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So in his self-righteousness, the doctor thanked God that he was not like this man he was treating for AIDS. He said, "I did not consider that this stigmatized man had repented and had been forgiven while I was still in my sins. In my heart, I approved of his suffering and inevitable death." Well, that's not Christ-like. And if we can't show compassion to all people, then we are not Christ-like. The leper was humble before Jesus, and he didn't have to make much of a claim. Jesus responded with compassion and made him clean. Finally, in this passage, we can see that the kingdom of God that Jesus said was near early on in the passage is at work. The leper trusts in Jesus and believes he can heal him. Jesus responds with compassion. This was unlike the way anyone else had treated this leper. And Jesus wanted his disciples to model his compassion in relation to all people, including lepers, including outcasts. And as Jesus is, if we are Jesus's disciples, if we are followers of Jesus, then we need to do the same. Jesus makes the leper clean so he could be restored back to the community and in the religious life of God's people. He touches the leper, breaking the no-touch rule and the idea that anyone who touched the leper would be unclean. Jesus touched the leper. And the leper, now clean, would no longer be forced to live outside the camp. But because of his disobedience in telling everyone the news, Jesus is forced to move outside the camp, outside of town. And this hinders his preaching. He almost replaces the leper. The leper can move back into town, and Jesus has to preach in more isolated places. But this doesn't stop the people coming. Ultimately, Jesus' work will be fulfilled. Jesus cleanses us. Jesus cleanses all who repent of our sins by taking our place on the cross. Amen.